All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're watching Oilers Nation every day with Tyler Yaremchuk. Your one-stop shop for all things Oilers.
See?
Fuck the crown. Oil in 4. That crown was heavier than we thought.
Fuck the crown, hey?
Liam fought back hard against that edition of the lead.
Believable. I will lift the crown up.
Liam, Kings fan. That's worse than me putting on the Golden Knights jersey.
Why? I am an Englishman. This is my prince crown.
All right. Welcome into the show today, everybody. Live from the Sports Closet studio. Check them out online, sportscloset.ca. Every playoff run over the last number of years, I've gone and I've gotten myself a new jersey for the playoff run.
Really?
This year, I didn't. Is that a mistake? Ooh. Should I be hitting up Sports Closet?
Well, you should, but maybe you can just get yourself a new hat, because they won game one and you didn't buy the jersey in previous years. When you've done it, they've lost game one.
That's an interesting idea as well. Anyways, I'll hit them up. One of their 3 locations in the Edmonton area, Sherwood Park Mall, St. Albert Mall, or Kingsway Mall. Welcome into the show over on the Oilers Nation YouTube. It's game 2, Liam. Playoff game day. It's a Sherwood Ford Giant playoff game day, brought to you by our friends at Sherwood Ford the Giant and their service department. A lot of bays, but you know what? I'm the kind of guy, I don't even go to the dealership to get my whip fixed. I use the mobile service van. Nation Truck needs an oil change? They just come on down to the office for me. Yeah. While I'm doing the show, they're out there. That's what oil changes probably sound like. Sherwood Ford the Giant takes care of it all. Is it not what oil changes sound like?
I don't know if they're quite that same sound.
I think that's more right for tires.
Yeah, well, maybe.
It reminds me of the movie Cars.
Ka-chow.
Ka-chow indeed.
Now, Oilers looking to Lightning McQueen their way up to a 2-0 series lead tonight. I see our pal McMullet is in the chat.
Really?
Yeah, he said that first goal, Hyman skated right at me and looked me in the eyes. Priceless, boys. Mm-hmm. Christopher Palmer, it's a birthday crown for Liam. He's allowed to do whatever he wants. Happy birthday, Liam. 28 years old.
28 years old.
Where does the time go? Feels like just yesterday.
Feels like just yesterday I was in high school. Now it's been fucking 10 years.
It's been 10 years since you're in high school.
Welcome to the club, brother.
Yeah, it is weird. Thank you, everybody. I actually quit celebrating my birthdays a few years ago.
Except for the fact that 2 nights ago you did a birthday party with your girlfriend.
I did one?
Well, you said the early birthday celebration on Liam.personal post.
She got me a cake.
That's celebrating your birthday.
Yeah, like I'll do that stuff, but I used to go all out. Like I used to be a big birthday party guy. You remember you went to one of my birthdays?
Yeah, you made me drive like an hour out of town to some hall.
So if you've ever been to Elk Island, anybody in the chat, if you go out there, there's a there's a hall on the left side, about halfway there, called the Brookfield Hall, Brockhill Hall.
It's not all the way.
And it was also our last day of school that day.
Yeah, because so we were friends.
Like an end of year school thing. And Tyler came from St. Albert. There was a bunch of people that came from like West Edmonton and they were not happy.
No.
About how far it made you all drive.
Yeah.
1 year I did it on the pirate ship at West End.
We could do that again.
Yeah, we definitely
could. I'd love to do that again.
We could. I mean, maybe through a 30.
The big 3-0. Think we'll still be doing the show then? God, I hope so. That is only 2 years away.
Yeah.
I hope we have a bit more longevity than that.
It's on my agenda.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, let's get into things, Liam. Here's what's coming up today on the show. Our pal Carter Hutton is going to swing by in a little bit to give us the lowdown on the goaltending situation in this series. Talk about Stuart Skinner in game one. I put out a post yesterday being like, I'm not all that mad at Stuart Skinner. I think the numbers weren't great, but I thought he played really well. He got scored on by his own defenseman's feet twice. And the clip got some pushback. People were like, you're not watching the games, Yaremchuk. Really? Ah.
What the heck? Other people watching the games?
That's what I'm saying. Anyways, Carter Hutton will tell us what side of that debate is the right side. Also, DJ Bean's going to swing by at 1 o'clock to wrap up the show. So we'll get a good vibe check in with DJ Bean. I was sending him because I like making him jealous of the fact we live in Edmonton. He obviously lives in Boston, loves the Edmonton Oilers. I was sending him videos of like the pregame stuff and the crowd getting into it. I just wanted to really jab him a little bit. Trying to get him up to Edmonton is the goal.
Yeah, that would be nice. I know this is very off topic, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Sure.
The U.S. just announced their first 15 players going to the World Championships.
Okay.
And this roster is kind of stacked. Do you mind if I just give it a quick read?
Sure.
Matt Boldy, Cole Caulfield, Joel Therabee, Johnny Gaudreau, Luke Cunning, who's not that good, Dylan Larkin, known better Shane Pinto, Brady Tkachuk, Trevor Zegras, and the blue line so far, Luke Hughes, Seth Jones, Jake Sanderson, Alec Vlasic, Zach Warinski.
That's a good blue line. That's a good team.
That is a good team.
That's a really good team.
Yeah, there you go.
That's luckily, we're past the point in our fandom, the Oilers, of having to worry about the World Championships.
Yeah.
No need to be concerned there. And hopefully the Oilers, I mean, playoff hockey tonight, Liam. You weren't nervous heading into game one, really. You weren't feeling like the playoff jitters. And I mean, we work-wise had like a pretty busy day, so I really didn't feel any sort of nerves. I really didn't feel a ton of like playoff energy really until I was in the building for the game.
Yeah.
But are you nervous at all heading into game two, I guess?
No, not really. But like you said, like I've not been around it. You know, like I haven't been down to the Moss Pit or anything like that and go to the game on Monday. Over the weekend, I didn't even watch any playoff games because I had crew camp all weekend. So I basically just rolled into Monday like it was any other day. And today, it's just another day. I think they'll win again tonight, but I don't think it'll be as easy as it was on Monday. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, I think that's fair as well. And I was on DFO Live today with Colby Cohn before the show. Me and him were just shooting the breeze about the Oilers a little bit. And he said he was a little bit worried with how run and gun the team looked in game one at times. And
I'm not worried about that.
You know, I do think that when you look back through this season with the Oilers, there were enough moments where they showed they can dial it in. Think about how low scoring some of those games were over the course of the 16 game winning streak and things like that. Like there were games where they battened down the hatches. It's a sailing term, Liam. They battened down the hatches and just played good defensive hockey. And I think they have it in them. The one part of last game that did concern me a little bit is the way they came out in the second period. They got very sloppy out of the gates in the second period. And again, we touched on this yesterday in our recap of the game, but if Skinner doesn't make that breakaway save on Arvidsson, we might feel a lot different about the way that hockey game ended up. Mm-hmm. And again, I give the Oilers credit for eventually kind of dialing her right back and having a very dominant finish to that middle frame, but I do think the Oilers, and I'm hoping the Oilers, this is similar to the conversation I guess we had with Frank yesterday as well. I hope they've learned their lessons from playoffs past, because we did this whole exercise yesterday. When you look at that series against Vegas last year, in game two, they won 5-1 and it was like perfect. The Oilers might have figured something out in Vegas. They were coming back, getting ready to come on, and they lose 5-1 in the very next night. They kind of they have a tendency to, at times, I think, get a bit too high on themselves, and they score a bunch of goals, and Connor and Leon are doing their thing, and it feels like the rest of the team, when it's games like that, almost go, Connor and Leon got us tonight. It's point night. Let's go get ours. And they get a little sloppy. You can even look back to in 2022 against the Kings. Again, they won 6-0 in game two. They won 8-2 in game three. Then they lose 4-0 that next night. And it just goes to show, talked about this yesterday, momentum doesn't carry over at all from game to game. The Oilers need to be cognizant of that. Scoring 7 last game doesn't guarantee you 1 in game two.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of what ifs in that analogy as well, though. Like, what if Skinner did make that save?
Yeah, and that's fair, you know, too.
And like, they did recover well after that. So I think one thing, like Colby saying the game was a bit too run and gun, awesome. Like, it doesn't matter if you go run and gun with the Kings, because they can't run as fast as you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would actually prefer, I think I was completely in the Oilers' advantage and they dictated the game. They played so quickly and moved with their feet and moving the puck that it didn't allow the Kings to set up. And I think if you can put that fear into the Kings again in the first period, I won't even say the first 10 minutes. I think the first period as a whole, like you did the other day, I like just don't see how they're going to be able to maintain that. Now, with that said, the Kings are going to come out heavy tonight. They're going to come out. They're going to try and dictate their game with the pace of it, the structure and everything. And the Oilers just need to break that early. And like we said on the show on Monday, when we were talking about three keys to how the Oilers could win, one of mine was you dictate the special teams. You beat the Kings penalty kill, which is second in the league. They absolutely dominated it.
And so, like 3-for-4. And again, on that miss in the first period, the Kings are lucky the Oilers didn't go 4-for-4 last night, if we're being honest.
Exactly. So they just got to find that first period, I think, is going to be everything for this game. But like you said, like, I'm also not worried if it's a tight game, because the Oilers have won a lot of tight games. Is this idea for people who don't watch the Oilers play a lot that every single game is like 7-6, like Colorado, Winnipeg?
Yeah.
It's like, it's not the case. If the Oilers want to dial it in, they can dial it in too.
Yeah. And I am really interested to see, like, and we'll get to it later with our bets and whatnot, but I think tonight will be closer. Like, when I bet puck line this evening, which I absolutely am, I'm not going into it thinking it'll be 8-1. I'm going into it thinking I might be sweating out and praying to puck line Jesus in the final 90 seconds.
Well,
and I'm interested to see how the Oilers react to maybe even some adversity in this game.
Is this series, just not Washington, New York? In a similar sense of, like, there's a clear powerhouse in this and then a clear team that is like, a lot of things are going to have to go right if they want to win. And that's what it feels like in this series between Edmonton and LA to what the Rangers and Caps. And last night, the Caps, to their credit, one goal game, but it never really felt like they were going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like that's what it's going to be tonight for the Oilers. I fully expect them to go into LA up 2-0, probably drop a game in LA because you're not supposed to win your home road games, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so that's what I'm thinking for tonight.
Yeah. Hey, I'm a guy who sits with my Betway open during the show. And I'm sitting here and looking at a nice, juicy wager that I put on the Oilers to win this series 4-1. And if they win tonight, I'm going to be absolutely chomping at the bit to see what my cash out is. Cause I think winning tonight makes winning in 5 the most likely outcome.
Well, your bet of McDavid in 12 points is pretty much halfway there.
Got that at +280, +285.
I mean, to be fair, nobody expected him to get 5 points.
Or did I?
You said, well,
no, I said he probably needs a 4-point game at some point for it to happen.
No one has had 5 assists in a game in a playoffs in 26 years.
Yeah, I feel like we didn't talk about that enough yesterday. McDavid had a historic performance.
Yeah, and it was amazing to watch. Like, it just constantly going, like, every time he was going down the ice, he made the LA Kings his bitch. He really did. Like, he did whatever he wanted to do that night. And they're going to make his life as miserable as possible tonight. They're going to be slashing him at every opportunity. They were already, but I think tonight will be amplified a little bit. And I think that's when you need guys like Nurse, Vinny, Kane, Perry, Give it back. I think tonight, do you remember, very different circumstances, but it was game two against San Jose when Zach Cassian had his coming out party, right? In the playoffs. And kind of feeling that tonight for Perry.
Oh, I don't mind that at all.
I don't know if he'll launch himself halfway across the ice and take out Brendan Dillon, considering he's not playing. But hey, if you get a big hit on Drew Doughty, that crowd is going to love it. And it was a couple of times in that game. I think Vinny had a huge one on Doughty, didn't he?
Yeah, Vinny crunched him. Nuge crunched him once. Or no, Fogle crunched him up against the boards. Yeah.
So,
but him and Nuge and Doughty, again, sitting somewhat close to ice level, they don't like each other. And they, like, when they're scrums, keep an eye on it tonight. If Nuge is out there and Doughty's out there and there's a scrum, one of them is actually usually looking for the other one.
Well, it'll be...
That's what resulted in, I think, Nuge getting popped by Kempe really bad when he did. It's because Nuge was, I think, trying to cut in to grab Doughty.
Do you know what's an interesting thing? And do you mind pulling up natural stat trick, Wells? I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
When the Oilers played LA last year, I thought Gavrikov was very, very good against McDavid. Defended him very, very well.
And he didn't play last game.
He played.
Whoa.
He made one good play on him. And McDavid has come across the line. He poked it right off his stick. And that was it must have been the first period. But he felt very invisible. Did he get scored on in that game, Gavrikov?
I was gonna quickly pull up his numbers against Connor McDavid last game. So last game he played 934 5-on-5 against McDavid, and the Oilers outshot them 6-2. So McDavid also did score a goal in that one. The Kings on ice for Gavrikov. Goals were 2-1 for the Kings with Gavrikov on the ice. But shots were 11-4 for the Oilers. I think he was on the ice for that garbage time goal.
I think he was, and I think he might have been on for the Kempe goal.
Okay.
So he's a good player, and I think tonight we'll see that matchup a lot. And it's I remember it was last year when Columbus were getting rid of him. I was like, who is this guy? And then, in that series, I thought he did a really good job.
Another interesting thing that I want to keep an eye on tonight is, and maybe I'll save this for the lineup report, the way they deployed Deneau against McDavid, that's who they wanted out there, I think, for the bulk of the game. Against Connor, he played 5:45 at 5-on-5 against McDavid. Kopitar got 4:12, so it was a little bit of a split, but I think the Kings' preference was to have Deneau out there with 97, and McDavid outscored him 3-1.
Well, how about there was a play in when they were attacking the other way. So when they attack that way, that second period. Okay. Yeah. And there was no penalty on this. And I'm curious if anyone saw it because I forgot to bring it up. But there was a clear hold at center ice on McDavid from Deneau. He was literally bear hugging him. And McDavid was still going like a top speed. And Deneau could not stop him.
He was along for the ride.
He was literally getting dragged along for the ride.
Kind of like my niece is like when I play this game where I just pick him up, hold him like a football and run him around the house.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that a little bit.
Kick him through the goalposts.
okay, let's get into... I want to do the Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat for a little bit since we have some time. I feel like I've been neglecting the chat a little bit over the last couple of shows. So I'm sorry, and I want to give you some love. The YouTube chat is brought to you by our friends over at Charm Diamond Centers. You know that I love them, and you know that you can trust them with whatever big jewelry purchase you need, Liam. Charm Diamond Center is proudly Canadian owned and operated since 1972 with more than 85 locations across the country through Charm and their sister brands. And you can get a custom ring built and delivered in less than 4 weeks with the Charm Masterpiece program and an unbeatable pricing policy. For more information, go to charmdiamondcenters.com. Let's see what you all got going on in the chat here. Eric said Byfield felt invisible. I think there were a lot of Kings that were outshone by the Oilers is probably a good way to put it. Like I can't think of a King who I view as viewed as impactful in that game.
Oh, in the entire game. I thought Kempe was okay.
Yeah, but he wasn't normal.
No, I agree. Like Trevor Moore was quiet. Fiala, I actually didn't notice at all.
Kempe, Lewis, and Laferriere each had 4 shots at 5-on-5. Kempe had 2 points, only King to register a multi-point effort in that one.
Oh, Laferriere. I actually thought he had a good game.
He's good. Credit. And again, considering you don't hear much about him, but he was up in the top six. He was fine.
Yeah, I thought he was good. There wasn't a lot of other guys. And that's the thing too, right? Like tonight, there is no way they're that bad again. Mm-hmm. There's no way. They have to be significantly better from all fronts. And there's a lot of guys in that room, obviously, who have won the cup in LA. Like Kopitar, Doughty, even Trevor Lewis.
They're going to have a great pushback tonight. I'm pretty confident in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ben says Gavrikov is a poor man's Kulak. I think it's the other way around. I think Kulak's the poor man's Gavrikov. I do like Gavrikov, despite me shitting on him for last game. He's
a good player.
Yep. He's a good player. I did like Brett Kulak last game. I had a weird moment sitting in the first period of that game is really when I started to feel the playoff energy again. Mm-hmm. And I think part of it is because the Oilers didn't play a meaningful game for like the last 10 games of the regular season. And there was a point where I saw Brett Kulak again. He rested in the game against... No, he didn't rest either.
He played both.
He played both. And I just wasn't paying attention because I saw him and I was like, oh, yeah, Brett Kulak's on the team. Like, good on him.
He did well. He did good.
Hyman is the biggest thorn from Eric. Someone else said the Kings are really going to focus. It was final buzzer. Ellie will focus on pushing Hyman out from in front of the net. I mean, if it was that easy, someone would have done it 50-some goals ago.
54.
Yeah, 54. Nice big hit on Moore would be nice to see. Yeah, Trevor Moore is a bit of a rat.
Someone put that guy through the boards. Vinny.
Vinny could take. Well, I mean, Vinny has a reason to go after and get him after that hit last game.
I still can't believe that didn't get anything. Like, I'm not even clamoring for a suspension, but like, fine him at least. Like, that was a horrible play.
Shout out to our friend Becca, who is in town tonight, and she'll be at game two.
Have fun.
Remember her from the New Jersey watch along?
Yeah.
She's the Devils fan. She's in Edmonton.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's in Edmonton to watch the game tonight.
Oh.
All the way from Jersey. Welcome. Stumbled into our stream when we were doing the Betway watch along.
She's good for the Boston Pizza thing.
Yeah.
Team up for the win.
For the win, Liam. Good call. Rusty says, I think the key to tonight's game is discipline. Don't let LA drag you into shit. And I agree. I think that's something where game one, that messaging of like, hey guys, don't overreact. I think that's easier in game one because as the series goes along, every little jab Kempe gives you, every jab Lazar gives you, every time Trevor Moore tries to take out your knee, it's going to get more and more annoying and it's going to be harder to ignore it.
More and more.
Unintentional. Like a young Gene Principe.
it is. You just got to... And that stuff too is going to depend on where the game's at as well, right?
Yeah.
If the others are losing, then yes, they will react because they're probably going to be pretty pissed off that they're losing. And sometimes I want them to react. I just want someone to get punched in the face like Nuge did the other day.
Yeah.
That's the one criticism I did have. Like, I liked that they didn't overreact, but there were some points like, if you're taking out knees, you should probably do something about that. Or like Zach Hyman's getting slashed on the boards after he's got a hat trick and he doesn't even have the puck. You should probably do something about that. Like, I just don't think you should sit back on everything because then they're just, I don't know, but
let them keep giving you power plays, man. Your power play is totally so good.
But we didn't get one on the Hyman one. I don't know. It's you give and you take, right?
Mm-hmm. Hunter wants to know if any Nation peeps are going to the Moss Pit tonight. Yes, keep an eye out for our boy Waz and our new guy, Peyton.
Yep.
Yep. Shout out to Waz and Peyton. You'll see them around there. Peyton.
That's cool.
Yeah. That's his
name. Welcome.
Welcome, Peyton. Peyton? Peyton? No, Peyton with a P. It's Peyton with a P.
Peyton. Waz and his friend will be there.
Let me know later.
He works for us. We should probably, whatever. Now we just look like assholes.
Yeah. Welcome.
You know whose name we don't forget? That former goalie who's joining us on the Star Mechanical Guest Line. Come on. Let's go to the Star Mechanical Guest Line, Edmonton's number one plumbing and heating company. You can find them online at starmechanical.ca. They've been trusted in the Edmonton community for more than 20 years, and you can trust them with anything, residential, commercial, or 24/7 emergency service. Carter Hutton, the former NHLer, joins us. Carter, how are you enjoying the playoffs so far?
Lots of love out there. It's crazy. A lot of storylines already, with the goalies, with, guys going to play and a lot of drama. This is fun. It's been a lot of fun, especially being on this side of it now.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. I want to go around the NHL, but let's zero in on this Oilers-Kings matchup a little bit. I threw out my take yesterday on Stuart Skinner. Like, his numbers weren't great by any means, but he faced 37 shots. Two of the goals went in off his like defenseman's skates. I liked what I saw from Stuart Skinner last night in game one in some big moments. What did you make of his game one performance?
I agree 100%. This is a perfect example of people watching a box score or a stat line and being like, oh, it's a sub 900 save percentage. But if you go and you watch the goals and the way he played, the first one I didn't love. I think he needs to just set his feet and, shift into pucks. He kind of slides, especially for a bigger guy. And I found that a common theme right now in the NHL, goalie sliding, chasing it. because there's so much traffic. But the other ones, there's not much you can do on, right? It goes off a skate, and then even the CC broken stick, like there's not much you can do. And those, I thought he played very well. And those are ones I think with his maturity now, you can just park it, right? Like you gave up four, who cares? You won, right? It's about winning games. Even Hellebuck said that after the first game, giving up six, like getting the win is the priority now. And I think he's going to be a difference maker moving forward for this Oilers team.
I guess I actually want to go straight to the flip side of it. Cam Talbot allowed six. I actually think he was okay in the first period. I don't think he was as bad as people made him seem. What did you think of his game in game one?
Again, not as bad as it seems, but this team has so many threats. It's hard to play against. And watching this, it's very similar when I played against, you know, McDavid or Draisaitl when I was in the league, or these superstar players, they can kill you in so many ways, right? So Draisaitl makes like the shot of the year. I saw it on Patty's Instagram, the shot from the Oilers from behind the net, like one of the coolest views I think you could see of a goal. But now the play before that, he goes on a backdoor pass to Nugent. So now you're trying to play the backdoor pass while there's still this threat. There's so many moving parts of this dynamic offense. And as a goalie, it can seem overwhelming at times. And I think the LA Kings didn't do a good job of helping him, especially some of the plays where, you know, McDavid spins through and finds guys right in the house, right? These are plays that he can't control, but he's going to have to be a lot better if this team stands a chance against the Oilers.
I want to ask one other question about Talbot. So the entire arena is chanting his name and getting right on top of it.
It was loud. It was
very loud. How badly does that affect a goalie, do you think? Like, do you think you can block that out, or does that become part of the game too?
You know what? For a guy like him, he's pretty mature. You know, he's been around a long time. He's been in different situations. But when things aren't going your way, it definitely gets a lot harder. And I think for him, when, you know, you're fighting it a bit and you're trying to do too much, it can definitely eat at him. So I think home ice advantage is something that is real. And especially when your team is playing well, it can eat at the goalie. And I think that's a great example of the fans being the sixth man and helping out there.
You ever have anything like that in your career where the crowd was just on you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I've had a few moments, especially when I went back to Nashville. I played three seasons there, and then they have a chant when you get scored on. It's all your fault, Siv. It's all your fault, like Hutton sucks or whatever. So I think that one stung a little bit because I had three seasons there. And I remember one time we blew a 3-goal lead and lost in overtime. I think Forsberg had a penalty shot overtime winner on me. So that one stings a little bit, but the crowd was definitely in my head at that point.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned going back to Nashville, like Talbot coming back to Edmonton. I'm sure that adds a bit of it too, because he was on the reverse side back in 2017 when Oilers fans were all over Martin Jones in that series, right? with the 5-hole chance. Where else did I want to go with the Oilers? I actually wanted to, I thought this was a great question in our YouTube chat from Sergeant Battle. So I'm sure you didn't see this, but Klim Kostin plays for the San Jose Sharks right now, Hutz, but loved his 1 year in Edmonton. He's back in Edmonton right now, and he was at the game the other day and actually like put on an Edmonton Oilers Klim Kostin jersey while he was in the stands. Does that, like, I feel weird about that, because like the Sharks are paying him $2 million for next season. He is not a pending free agent. If you were like his teammate and you saw this, would you be a little bit like, whatever, that's just, he's screwing around having fun? Or would you be like, why are you wearing an Oilers jersey in the crowd at an Oilers playoff game?
Yeah, definitely. I actually saw this. It seems a bit weird to me, especially a guy who wasn't like, it's different if it's like a legend going back to the Oilers or someone. This is a guy that pretty much had a cup of coffee with the Oilers. So it's cool to see him supporting him, but it is a little weird when you have a team that is, you know, you're still on contract, you're still playing for them, but he obviously loves the game. He loves Edmonton. It means something to him. So I respect it, but I don't think I'd be doing it if someone else was writing my paychecks.
Yeah, that's just, again, if he was a pending free agent, even, I'd be like, whatever. Like, yeah. This is funny, but it's like, man, the Sharks are going to pay you $2 million next year. They're in the division. Like, it's a division rival. It's odd.
He left. Like, he wanted to leave Edmonton.
Well, he wanted to chase the bag. Yeah. I don't know. Whatever.
Whatever.
One more on Kings Oilers. If tonight doesn't go their way, and you were the head coach of the Kings, Jim Hiller, would you be at all tempted to go to Rittich, or do you think Talbot still gives them the best chance to win 4 of 5 if they were to lose tonight?
You know, I think it's Talbot, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's a change, especially if it's one of these games again where it starts getting 4, 5, 6 goals. I think at some point you just need to spark something. And I don't think Talbot is totally the problem. I think you are a product of the system. And again, these are goalies that have been products of their system, right? They are structure. They need it. They aren't, you know, it's a 1A, 1B situation without like a big hitter in net for them. So for me, I think it's a short leash here, but at the same time, the Kings have to do a better job in it, because I don't think it matters who's in net, or this will be a short series.
I also do wonder, like we talked about the mental grind of the crowd just being on you. I wonder if maybe there's not a super short leash tonight in terms of pulling them. And like, if you think Talbot's your guy, let's say the Oilers get on you with two or three early, maybe you just go like, man, let's save him the mental angst of having to sit through 55 more minutes of Talbot chance. And you just give him the yank early. I wonder if we don't maybe see that.
I just think like Talbot not being in there, it's not exactly like the backup doesn't have a history in Edmonton too.
Oh, hey, Oilers fans hate him too. Dave? Yeah.
Yeah, either guy or, but I think again, it's just a product of, you know, the way they play, and they're going to have to be better because both these guys definitely aren't the guys, you know, you're not picking these guys in your pool, right? These aren't Vezina worthy goalies, right? These are guys that the Kings need to play their structure. So it'll be interesting to see what happens for sure.
I want to ask you a couple of questions just zipping around the NHL. Last night, we saw the Predators even up their series with the Canucks. It was no Demko Mo problems for Vancouver. You like that one?
That was good.
Do you think Casey DeSmith can keep the Canucks in this series, give them enough to win, or are the Canucks screwed?
I think the Canucks are going to be in trouble. If it's not this round, it's the next round, depending on what Demko is. I think Demko makes this team a legitimate Stanley Cup contender, and Casey DeSmith is serviceable. He does a great job, but the way the playoffs are and the traffic and his how small he is to fight for pucks, you could see it last night. I think they're going to be in tough. They need to play better all around to begin with, and that was the other side of it. You hear the Casey chants, and they scored immediately. So it goes both ways. You can be the home goalie and feel it too.
What have you made of this Colorado and Winnipeg series? Like, absolute, what is it? Hellebuck's allowed 11 goals now in two games. I think going into game two, everyone would have assumed it would have been him that turned it around, but it was Gorgiev. Like, what are you seeing in that series?
You know, honestly, I think it's just the firepower of Colorado. And for me, something that stands out is when Mittelstadt got traded there and he talked about how hard they practice and how it was such eye-opening for him coming from Buffalo. So again, I think this is a team that just has a higher standard, especially with Nathan MacKinnon, the way he just pushes and pushes and pushes. So it doesn't surprise me that they came out flying. I had my doubts about Georgiev, don't get me wrong, but I think he's played in the system long enough and he knows that they give up chances and he was able to bounce back. But if there's one guy I am not betting against, it's Connor Hellebuyck. This guy has played on good Jets teams, bad Jets teams, and he's been one of the most consistent goalies over the past decade in the NHL. So I think they go down there and they find a way, and they've had success in Colorado, but this is going to be a good series. It's been exciting so far.
The other situation I want to hit on before we let you go is the Boston switcheroo that's going on. They win game one, go from Swayman to Allmark, lose game two. Do you think they can get, let's say this series goes six or seven games, which I think it's pretty likely it will. Do you think it's smart for them to just go flip-flop the whole way? Or like, is there a point after game three, after game four, where you go, okay, they got to pick someone here? Like, if Swayman plays really well tonight and they win, do you really want to keep the rotation going? Or is that just the process and you're committed to it?
I think after tonight it changes. If Swayman plays very well and they win, now it's legit. After game one, I was asked on it a few times on different shows. And for me, it was a no-brainer. You go to Allmark. That's your rotation. And again, we're not talking about like a 1A, 1B, like a true backup versus a star. These are two guys that are legitimate starting goalies on any hockey team in the NHL. You have Linus Allmark, who won the Vezina Trophy. So I like that. The thing that I don't think a lot of people really process is the fact that Swayman played all year on a few days rest, right? He would play a game, get a few days, then get a start. So all of a sudden, we're going to get to the playoffs, play one game, a day in between, and then he's starting again. It messes up your whole schedule. So I think for Montgomery, it's very smart to do that. And now they're going to have a Wednesday and then they start Saturday. So if he plays well tonight, that gives you that extra gap, an extra day that stays a little more similar for his schedule. So if they win tonight, I would look to see him again on Saturday.
Last one. It's our short four giant question for the day. Who needs a victory more tonight in game two? Is it the Dallas Stars or the LA Kings? I guess who would you give less of a chance of coming back if they were to go down 2-0 between those two?
It's got to be the LA Kings for me. I think if they don't find a way to win tonight, this series is toast. Edmonton is rolling, especially with McDavid looks possessed out there. And I think down in Dallas, it's going to be a good series, a battle. But I think LA's toast if they lose this one.
Which is interesting, too, because it'll be LA going back home, potentially down 2-0. If Dallas goes down 2-0, they're going to T-Mobile for two more games down 2-0. But I agree with you. I think, you know, I could see Dallas just flipping a switch, getting hot for three games and just rolling for a bit, but
they're just better.
They're just better. Yeah. I think it's as simple as that. Hots, appreciate your time, man. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, thanks for having me on again.
There you go. Always a pleasure chatting with the former NHLer, Carter Hutton. You can find him on the Daily Faceoff YouTube with the Starting Goalie Report. Does some stuff with SiriusXM as well. He's all over the place.
Really?
Yeah. He's been described as a rising star in the media game.
Oh, well, yep. I would completely agree.
By us.
Yeah. I will write all the reviews. Carter, if you're still there, you need a reference. Ask Tyler for my number. You don't have it.
Yeah. All right. Let's keep cruising along with the show today. DJ Bean's going to join us with the Boston Pizza playoff report in a little bit. But let's get to the lineup report, actually, for our friends at Service Credit Union. We do a lot of different reports on this show. The Service Big Share Contest, there's less than a week left in this bad boy, and it's your chance to win $1 million. You don't want to miss it. Anyone can enter by becoming a member and saving with Service. Every $500 saved gives you five entries into the Service Big Share Contest. Contest ends April 30th, 2024. That's coming up. Skill test required. For rules, visit service.ca/win. You ever have to fill out like the skill testing question when you enter something?
I always get it wrong.
Well, like you automatically forget everything you've ever known about basic addition and subtraction.
What is it? Bedmass.
Brackets, exponents, division, multiplication, addition, subtraction.
Yeah. You know what? You could also
do this. I can do math at a fourth grade level.
Just pull out your calculator and just do it.
No, that's cheating.
Why? It's skilled based. My skill is I have a phone.
Remember that in like third grade when your teacher would be like, you're not always going to have a calculator on you.
Yeah, I am.
Like, yeah. You seen what Apple's up to right now?
Do you know, actually, it's quite interesting. Now, there's so many more open book tests and everything because, and this is, we'll get off a bit of tangent here, but like, testing is so stupid. Like,
there's never a situation in the real world where you can't Google something.
Oh, you like, yeah, you were like, you're given maximum supplies to make things work.
Yeah.
But in school, it's like, you got to figure it out.
It's just memorization.
This chemical formula that you learn in September and the test is in June.
And if you aren't good at memorization, you're labeled an idiot.
Yes, exactly. And therefore,
you end up like us.
Yeah. Like,
you go into sports media.
But, as Ryan said, life is a test.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Life is a test, Ryan.
Yeah.
I think I saw Ryan at the game the other day, but I saw him in passing. And then I was like, I think that was Ryan. And then I just went and sat down.
Ryan gave me a ride home in Arizona.
Really? And
I will be forever grateful. It was when we were just finishing at the Taco Bell Cantina. I saw, David Quinn just got fired.
The Sharks fired David Quinn?
Yeah. I came out of Taco Bell Cantina and I was like, I want to go away from here. And Ryan was in his car with Mainlander Tim and his wife, and I jumped in. They drove me all the way home past the zoo. You know how bad I wanted to go to the zoo while we were down there.
Yeah, but you were tired that day.
I was tired.
All right. Yeah, let's okay. Lineup report. Then I'm going to give take on David Quinn. Lineup report is this. It's the same. The Oilers will keep the same forward lineup, and Jason Gregor says the Kings will keep the same lineup. I'm not surprised. I, as much as I'd want to see Brown in here at some point, you don't do it after you play that well in game one.
No. But what did you say? You said you think they should change the
line? No, I said I would like to see Brown at some point, but you're not going to do it.
No, I don't care right now about Connor Brown. Unfortunately, I think this team did well. The one thing I would like to see is just Holloway maybe play a little bit more, but I thought when that line had the opportunity to go out, they did really, really well. Kane had a good game, getting some shots. I think he'll get one tonight. I think that third line is going to have a big game for the Oilers. Like I said, I think Perry is going to have his Zach Cassian game, we'll call it. And I think Kane is just going to just build momentum off that.
Same lineup for the Los Angeles Kings tonight as well. So let's flip that question on its head. Is that a mistake? Because last game, the blender was out in full effect for the LA Kings. They were throwing anything at the wall. They're grasping for straws. Are you surprised that they're maybe not making a change somewhere?
Well, who's out, I guess?
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with five different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I don't know all their extra forwards.
Yeah, like again, I'm surprised that maybe, like again, you're looking Fiala, Dubois, Byfield. I think that's a smarter play. Like this establishes a true fourth line for them. I maybe understood what they were trying to do with the four lines that could all score. But I think against this Oilers team, you need to put some legitimate talent together to try match Edmonton in the top nine.
That's the thing too, right? You got to play to your strengths, like make your strengths stronger. You don't have to build on your weaknesses.
Yeah.
So I think going out and like, what did they start with? Dubois and Byfield are both on the fourth line. Like, yeah. Why?
It's overthinking the problem.
It is. Mm-hmm. Like, get your best players in the top six and go toe-to-toe because those guys can score. The Kempe's guy can absolutely rip the puck. Kopitar's obviously Kopitar. More at 30 goals this season. Fiala, Byfield, as much as we make fun of Dubois, he's still a really effective player at times. So they just got to, like you said, not overthink things. Just play your game. But hopefully they overthink things and they don't play their game tonight.
Yeah. Just looking, the only line
Kaliev.
Oh, yeah. They should probably play Arthur Kaliev, actually.
Arthur Kaliev is the forward out of the lineup. And then Brent Clark, I think, is a defenseman.
I don't want him potentially getting exposed by McDavid as a young kid.
No. I don't either. I think that's cool.
Yeah. The only line last game that really had any semblance of success was Kempe, Kopitar, and Laferriere. They outshot the Oilers 5-3, held the possession battle as well. I guess Deneau, Moore, and Laferriere in their few shifts together were pretty good, and they scored a goal. But the line that got absolutely worked was Deneau, Moore, and Arvidsson. They got outscored 3-1. That's who, again, Knobloch felt comfortable going up with McDavid against them, and the shot attempts were 14-8 in favor of the Oilers. So
I kind of hate Arvidsson.
Oh, yeah, he's a little rat boy.
I think, you know, Iafallo was my number one rat last year.
Arvidsson dives around and acts like a...
I hate that. I hate the integrity of the game, man, taking away stuff like that. And that's coming from someone who watches soccer every Saturday. The diving is an absolute joke in hockey because it's so obvious.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you watch another sport, it's not so obvious. But that one he made, like, you got tripped, and that's fine. Like, that was a penalty. But then you're flying through there. I said, what are you doing? It's so embarrassing.
Remember last year against LA?
He got the embellishment penalty, didn't he?
He did. But and then before that, there was a moment, and this is probably what tipped off the officials to the fact that he's a world-class diver. He got hit and like limped down the tunnel, right? Freaked out, right. Said he got kneed. I think it was even by McDavid.
I think it was Nurse.
It was Nurse, yeah. So he gets kneed, and he went down the tunnel, and they reviewed it, and it was like, ah. And then he was on the power play.
Yeah, ridiculous. It's you know, we all don't like the officials.
I won't even say the word
like
I want to say.
But it's ridiculous. We will have to make our rat list again. Bring Cassian home. I said, we'll review it after tonight. Tonight will really expose some people.
All right.
Brent Clark's actually a bit of a rat, too.
Really?
That guy loves to run his mouth.
Uh-huh.
That's all I got.
Okay, over in the YouTube chat. Let's catch up on a little bit of this. Hunter said, all my homies hate school. Yeah, I'm with you, Hunter.
Yeah.
If you're watching this right now and you're in school, don't go for the rest of the day.
Skip.
Yeah, that's good advice. Permission. We're totally allowed to say that. That's within our rights. Davin, learning how to use a tape measure is more important. Interesting. Naeem said, in some jobs like medicine, memorization is important. Yeah, someone else said, don't Google during an open heart surgery.
Hey, Dacky. Look, that stuff is important. That's not what we were referring to.
Yeah, obviously. Naeem says, I hope Holloway gets some rotations in the top nine. I thought he played well. I thought he was good. I thought he was noticeable in that hockey game. I am intrigued to see if they end up giving him some shifts a little bit higher up. But I thought Evander Kane also looked good. So there really wasn't much of a reason for it. What was interesting was their approach of not using Ryan McLeod in defensive zone draws. They had Sam Carrick taking those draws with Perry and Kane if it was on the right side of the D zone. And Carrick ended up losing a few of them as well. And I was kind of, there's a part of me that was like, you may be overthinking things right now. Maybe just keep the lines the same and go from there. But again, I understand Carrick traditionally is going to be better on that right side of the faceoff circle. Just looking at the faceoff numbers, Carrick was 55.6%. Yeah, McLeod was 46.2%. So yeah, that was really the only time they were messing with it, because Dylan Holloway, he played a minute 39 with Perry and a minute 21 with McLeod. So he basically got, what, two shifts with those guys. I wouldn't mind seeing him get rotated in a bit more. But again, right now, we are very much at the if it ain't broke, do not fix it kind of thing.
Yeah, totally. I like the comment there from Jeff Wood.
I like
Croft to San Jose.
Ooh,
I feel like that well, is too much of a mess.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this a little bit here. David Quinn fired. He spent two seasons as the Sharks head coach. In 164 games, he only won 41 of them. So that's not good.
He was in the Rangers, right?
He was with the Rangers before, missed the playoffs in two of his 3 years. And now with San Jose, he's missed the playoffs in back-to-back seasons. My point on this from the perspective of the San Jose Sharks, are you making the playoffs next year? Are you making the playoffs the year after that?
No, but
are you making the playoffs the year after that? Are you making the playoffs the year after that?
Well, what do you?
Are you making the playoffs the year after that? Maybe.
But you're allowing a losing culture to take over. And yes, like winning games is obviously very important, but you do need to establish some things behind the scenes on it too. And like San Jose obviously got worse and worse as the year went on, but like we saw it in Edmonton, like coaches just going to rotate in 2 or 3 years. You know, and I don't think he should have stayed any longer. Like, yes, the team is bad and that was obvious, but like it was also obvious he was going to get fired in like 3 years when he got the job.
Would Jay Woodcroft make sense there? He turns it down.
Yeah, I don't think that's his time.
He'll go back and coach in Baco before he does that.
He may as well be coaching in Bakersfield.
Probably be more competitive. Yeah.
Eakins.
I mean,
kind of makes sense.
Honestly, like if you're San Jose, whoever you're bringing in right now is not going to be the coach who's with you when you're ready to come out of this rebuild. So I think you go hire some young coach who is going to be fun and positive in the room.
Yeah.
I honestly think that's it.
A good environment.
Yeah.
Where did Eakins, what was his last coaching job?
Anaheim. That was it, right? Gassed.
I had it in LA, but that was Todd McLennan.
Squishy says Woody's going to Utah or Toronto if the Leafs lose in the first round again. I could definitely see that Toronto thing. Someone said Woody's going to end up in Ottawa. Yeah, I could see them liking Woodcroft out in Ottawa, and I think that's a coach that would make sense there. I think Woodcroft would make a ton of sense in New Jersey.
Yep, that would be a good spot. You know what doesn't make a lot of sense, but we didn't talk about? How about Lindy Ruff going back to... No, is it Lindy Ruff?
Yep.
Going back to Buffalo?
Yep.
That is ridiculous.
If you need to put in your media release that you didn't make this hire for nostalgia, you probably made the hire for nostalgia and are in denial.
Yeah. I just like don't get it.
They should have hired Woodcroft.
It was that whole thing of him, like Alexander Holtz and like the other young players in New Jersey, and he just wasn't working out. So you put him in Buffalo. Like, I just don't understand some of these guys' idea of like, we need to get a tough guy in to sort out our room. It's like, no, you need to, that is not how things work anymore. Like, the players clearly are not responding to guys like that. And hey, like, maybe Ruff will have a good season.
So players in Buffalo, I think we're kind of saying like, it's too relaxed here. We aren't structured enough to compete with Granato. So yeah. Lindy Ruff is the exact opposite of Don Granato. But I would have gone.
It feels too extreme.
That's what I was going to say. I would have gone somewhere down the middle of the fairway there.
Woodcroft.
California Oilers fan. Woodcroft needs to go to a team that I want to support. I don't like the idea of not pulling for Woody. Yeah, man. If he goes to the Leafs, that's going to be weird. It'd be very weird. I could at least get behind Ottawa making the playoffs.
Do you miss Woodcroft?
Yes. I miss the vibes.
I like
And I think Knobloch. Him and Chris Knobloch are more or less the exact same coach. I think the difference came with getting Manson off this blue line. I think his message had ran dry. I think his approach was not a very modern approach with how a blue line should be acting and working. And Coffey's done a better job of letting this team play to their strengths and giving them the confidence to make plays. I know he talked about that in his sit down with LeBron. And I think his line was something like, if you have time to shoot it off the glass, you have time to make a play.
Agreed. It's a very modern way to look at it, which is funny because that has always been the old boys club, right?
Well, but it's also funny with Coffey because it's a very modern way to look at it, but that's how Coffey played, right? Yeah. Not that I ever watched him, but from everything you know about Paul Coffey, right? That's is he always he made the play, right? So again, I think the Manson thing was needed and necessary. I still, and I will always stand by this take, and you know, don't clip this because we'll have people on Instagram saying your MChug's being negative on a game day, blah, blah, blah. But like,
again,
they're in this spot right now with Jay Woodcroft as their coach, and I stand by that. And I, from everything I heard, that locker room wasn't as much as people, as much as I'll say this, I'm trying to watch my words a hair, but as much as people sat there and were like, oh, Connor McDavid got his junior coach.
Yeah.
He wasn't consulted on this.
Oh, no.
This was the Jeff Jackson Knobloch connection. This wasn't the McDavid Knobloch connection.
Well, that came out too when it all went down, because that was obviously the headline and every show was talking about it. So, oh, well, McDavid's running the team, the LeBron of the NHL, people were calling him. And I just don't even think that was. You're right. It was all Jeff Jackson's decision. And I agree. I think the others would have pulled it back together if Woodcroft was here. And I know the impact Coffey had had, but I never had to like consider like the Manson thing, you know, like it's right. Like this blue line is completely different. Would Bouchard have 82 points? Would Ekholm have like found the rhythm he had coming into the era? Like it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Cali Oilers fan, Woody being fired was a slap in the face that woke them up. I think so. I think too. A little bit. Yeah. Dangerous weight. I love Woody, but we're in a better spot now. Again, I'm not convinced that the better spot wouldn't have come back without Jay Woodcroft. His record speaks for itself, guys.
Yeah. But Knobloch's is now better, isn't it?
It is. Winning percentage wise, it's better. That is correct. And listen, Woody had his flaws. The way he handled his line matchups against Vegas last year is a big reason why they lost. Him continually rolling out Stuart Skinner when he didn't have it and Campbell was giving you good relief appearances. You should have started Jack Campbell in game 5 or 6 against the Golden Knights. I stand by that as well. But Chris Knobloch has his flaws. He goes to the blender a lot, right? Like that's something with Woody, it felt like we had 2-3 months when he first took over where he wasn't going to the blender, wasn't just teaming up McDavid and Draisaitl. Knobloch already shows the tendencies of late stage Woody, late stage Tippett, where he goes right back to Connor and Leon a lot when they're losing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think every coach has their pros and cons is kind of my point. And I think Woody's pros outweigh his cons, even if it didn't end well here.
I think one thing that's an interesting layer of Knobloch too is it's been here, since November, mid-November, wasn't it? I think a lot of it was getting familiar with the team and finding those combinations come playoff time, like what could be the perfect lineup. Mm-hmm. Like if you had told me even at the start of April that Adam Henrique was going to be on the first line and not Nugent Hopkins, I probably wouldn't have believed you, but they experimented with so many things and now they have this lineup. And I just think that's an interesting thing. And Woodcroft, you're right. When there's the Derek Ryan quote, but here we are. He's not here anymore. Nobby is.
Yep. You know what? Actually, I like this one from Mr. Burns. I stand by Woody being a blender out of panic. Knob blends with strategy.
Yeah.
I think towards the end of the season, that was true. A month ago, that wasn't true. He was going back to McDavid and Draisaitl when they would, he was doing a lot of the same things Woody did down the stretch. What I liked, and we gave him credit for this on the show. He put Holloway up on that third line and ran with it and was like, hey, we're sticking you here and giving you a chance to succeed. And what happened is he did succeed, right? He was almost point a game down the stretch. I know they played bad teams, but whatever, you get my point.
Still did it.
Still contributed. He put Henrique up there and it worked. And what did he do? He didn't do night one of the playoffs. Say, well, what worked for the most of the regular season was, you know, McLeod and Fogle in the top six and Nuge up there. So let's just keep. No, he was like, hey, I tried this. It worked. Let's go with it. And he's going with it. And it worked in game one. Hyman scored a hat trick and Henrique found the back of the net on a laser beam shot.
Snipe.
Snipe. We don't have the picture of him with 19, sadly, but that's okay.
There's something else I was going to say, but that's okay.
That was a good in-depth. That was like good hockey talk. We just did like 9 straight minutes of good hockey talk.
Ooh, we've not even played Liam's game yet.
I'm wiped.
Yeah, it was about 40 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And there was the other thing too I wanted to say. I don't think Woodcroft will be playing Holloway right now in the playoffs.
No, he played up, put him in that game against Colorado in the conference finals.
But there was nothing to lose. Like it was game four. They was like, we're either done or we're done the next game.
Yeah, you're right. We probably would have Brown Janmark on the fourth line.
Yeah, so that's what I like about Woodcroft. Nobby is a decision was made. Holloway went down. Broberg went down. They came up. They both played. Broberg was up here weirdly for a day and is now gone again.
Yeah. Davin said RIP 11-7. I
don't miss it.
I liked it.
I liked it. I just don't miss
it. I think it served a purpose, but the purpose was born out of the fact the Oilers had no depth. So
yeah, that is true.
So like, again, I don't think Woody would be going 11-7 with this forward group because I think he would trust Carrick enough. He had to go 11-7 before because...
Or do they never get Carrick?
No, they would still go get Carrick. They liked him enough for a long enough time.
I don't know.
What are you doing for the game tonight?
I'm going to watch with my family.
Ah.
Why? You inviting me?
No, I don't have tickets. Oh. So there's that. But anyways, I was just curious, wondering what your plan was, seeing if you have any
new... That's what I wanted to ask. I wanted to ask a question. My Sherwood Ford giant question.
Your truth. Chat. Okay.
So I saw this video, this picture the other day, and I can't remember what it was. It was someone who lives in Australia that sounds like they have a Swedish name. So if you know who they are, let me know.
Okay, wait. Sorry, start that sentence.
Yeah. So someone who lives in Australia, I think, who has a Swedish name.
Yeah.
I can't remember what your name was. Might have been Lars.
That's pretty Swedish, yeah.
That is pretty Swedish. And they were watching the game on the laptop in a coffee shop at noon. So I want to know, to the chat, to the world, where is the most random place you've watched an Oilers game before?
Oh, wow.
That's I was going to ask you, but I doubt you would have a good answer.
Well, yeah. Like, I mean, my answer would just be like, I'm trying to think of like the vacations I've taken. And it's like, okay, when have I like thrown the Oilers game on my phone that's while I'm on vacation?
Thinking, yeah.
And I don't travel to very exotic places. So there's that. Entering the hockey season, I don't really travel.
So I've spoken about these two fellas a few times, but my friends, Jack and Danny, who live in England, who I went to high school with in England, we talk a lot and they've become Oilers fans. So when I went back, I gave them Oilers Nation stuff. So they're Oilers fans. And the other day, when the third period started, Jack messaged me as Hyman scored. And he's like, as a third in the third period, he's like, what a way to start the third. So they got up at like 5 o'clock in the morning, whatever it would be, to watch that game. Like, I love the Oilers, but there's this thing where, especially in the soccer world, like if you don't live in the city, you're like a fake fan. It's like, those are such dedicated
people fans. Say that in soccer?
Oh, all the time.
But like what? Because you like the team, you need to like move there? Or it's pretty just much, like, oh, just, if you weren't like raised in the culture.
Bingo.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, like, I watch my soccer team every Saturday, 8 a.m. Get up and watch it with my dad.
I
respect those people a lot. Mm-hmm. Like Dukes, all that gang.
It really is great. I'm looking to see how much tickets are tonight. Click to unlock. 190 all in. That's upper bowl.
What do we got here? We got a few. I don't have my stream yet up on my laptop for us. Perfect.
139 all in up top. I don't know if that's USD or CAD though. Oh, that's USD. Ooh. I'm okay.
Okay, let's see what we got. Christopher Palmer watched in Bali back in 2018. Scott Aroni, the University of Hawaii. That is sick.
Oh, people can help Ryan. Anyone know where to catch a game in Cancun?
Yeah, let Ryan know.
Maybe we have two people watching us from Cancun right now and they'll meet up and watch the game together.
Oh, that would be cool.
That would be cool. That'd be very cool.
There was a few more above that, Tyler. Sorry, if you don't mind scrolling up.
While at an NBA game on my phone. Now that's great.
A fan. What else is
on my phone
at a lacrosse game?
Cousin's wedding.
I like the ones of people going to games. It's like when we were in Vegas, Aaron and I were sat together and the lady in front of us was watching the LA Chargers play
Jacksonville playoff game.
Yeah, and they lost.
And that was in our parlay.
That was, yes.
Mr. Burns, I got up to watch via Zoom at 1 a.m. in Ireland. My parents pointed the camera at the game because I was living overseas and missed watching.
That's hilarious. Actually, Coombe, a lot of people might not know this. Coombe lived in Ireland.
And never stopped working for the website. And
kept working for Oilers Nation. So basically, he was just all the morning content because he would just rewatch the game.
Yeah.
It was quite amazing, actually. Good for him.
And it worked out well for us, like you said, content-wise, because he would just crush out morning stuff for us.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
Well, I wasn't here, but BM was telling me about it. It's great stuff.
We'll be looking for a place to watch in the Grand Canyon this weekend. Grand Cayman. I was going to say,
tough service in the canyon.
I don't think you can go in the canyon.
You can go in the canyon.
Well, I know it's big.
You can, my friend did a kayaking tour in the Grand Canyon.
Really?
Yeah. For a week, he was gone. Oh, we're doing the flag game today.
No, we're not.
Spain.
We do have a lot. That's
you can see them. Yeah, I brought backup flags just in case.
No, we got a lot to get to today. We should quickly, before we get to DJ, go around the NHL for our friends at Duregard. Oh, Liam.
Doug is going to be in Athens for the game this weekend.
Neato.
That is sick. Athens, place I want to go. Tell me about Duregard.
I will. For 37 years, Duregard Fence Limited has been offering manufacturing, installing, and repair services, as well as a whole range of do-it-yourself solutions. For more information or to request a quote, go to duregardfence.ca. Liam, let's go around to the NHL real quick here. Last night, Nashville takes down Vancouver. Listen, I don't even think this is about goaltending. Vancouver's got to find a way to get through the Dallas Stars or get through that Nashville United front, I think we call it. Nashville blocked 30 shots last game.
Yeah, I mean,
did you not? Is that not an okay way to describe it?
No, it's just funny. That's the thing, isn't it? We were all talking about the goaltending, but they only had 16, 15 shots, whatever it was. In the first period, there was 5 shots aside. Literally both teams averaged 5 shots a period. Nashville dictated that game the way they wanted it to be. Just get in lanes and do everything. DeSmith can win them a game. He's a good goalie. There was a list out there yesterday saying he was better than Ottinger and Skinner, which were hilarious and delusional. But I think DeSmith will win a game this series, but Vancouver's offense needs to be present.
You're right. Pedersen didn't have a shot last game. So that guy should shoot the puck.
People talk about Mitch Marner.
Well, okay. So an interesting post I saw the other day was, and I think it was Mimamoto who put it out there. McDavid and Draisaitl are the only two Canadian superstars who continuously come through for their team.
In the playoffs.
I know Pedersen now has had 2 games. Yeah, in the playoffs. Pedersen's had 2 games, but when Goudreau was in Calgary, he fell apart immediately. As soon as someone whispered the word playoffs, he crumbled. Playoffs. Yeah. Winnipeg, Mark Scheifele got suspended a couple of years ago.
I would say Hellebuck.
Giving up 10 goals in 2 games to start the playoffs. Yeah,
but overall, through his career, swept the Oilers.
Yeah, I know, but what's their longest run?
They went to the Western Finals.
Yeah, against Vegas that one time. Marner's been brutal. I don't know. I think it's interesting that
I agree.
That and people love to do the whole, I always said I was saying today when I was chatting with Colby, it was Ovi for years was labeled as not a playoff guy. Right. Mm-hmm. But Ovi would go out there and lead them in scoring, score 7 goals in 6 games of a series. And they would lose 4-2 because their depth and goaltending stunk. And it gave Ovi this label of can't play in the playoffs, can't perform in the playoffs, all this stuff. And it was he is. The hockey's just too much of a team game for one guy to do it for you. And people love, Connor and Leon can't get it. And, they've never been on to the cup final.
Yeah.
And it's all they do is drag the team further than it has any business going.
Well, what was it the other day when we had Jason Chimera on? And he brought up Alexander Semin. And we looked at the 1 year they lost in the first round. I think they won the President's Trophy that year. And he didn't have a goal. Mm-hmm. You look at Ovechkin and you just look, he's 141 career playoff points in 149 games. Mm-hmm. Playoffs are really a different beast. And that's an interesting thing. I never considered just the Canadian teams in general of who performs and who doesn't. Well, Montreal, Carey Price, I would say is probably one. Obviously he's done now,
but
he was really good. I can't think of too many more off the top of my head.
Yep.
Aginla?
Naeem says, no one blames Connor and Leon, though I blame management. Oh, yeah, we do as a collective. The fan base here gets it.
But people always, it's always the best players that I get labeled.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I was getting at. And someone said, Leon's German. Holy Christ. I meant players who play for Canadian teams. I know Pedersen is Swedish and Matthews is
American Mexican.
Yes, correct.
Hispanic? I'd say Matthews shows up.
Yeah, I mean, hey, he had a monster game in game two. Like, that's a guy who right there, if they win this series, you will point to their best player and say he did a ton to help them win this series, right? Scott Aroney said, be specific. Oh, my God. I felt like that was kind of a given.
What?
It was like, yeah. Canadians and like Sidney Crosby, yes, consistently came through for the Penguins. We know that. Tampa is down 2-0 to Florida, but they're heading back at home. Worried about the Bolts? If you were a Bolts fan,
no,
I'm not worried until they lose a game at home. They're one of those teams for me. They can win two in a row.
Yeah.
And they've both been so close, both one goal games.
Yeah, that's been a great series from the highlights I've watched. Bobrovsky, what a save last night. Second, did you see?
Bobrovsky's Russian.
Really?
Yeah. That save was stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid.
It was incredible.
That's some like road hockey stuff with your buddies flailing yeah. around.
You don't even try that in the video games.
No, because the graphics and buttons can't support yeah, that sort of a save. Yeah. Quick. They're going to have to add it now because of Bob. He only faced like 21 shots, but he had to make some tough saves. Like he came across once on Stamkos and had one ring off his mask. That probably didn't feel good.
How about, what have you made of the Islanders' decision not to play Sorokin?
I think it's foolish. I think they should play him soon. I know Varlamov
played him game three. It was announced.
Yeah. Like, I know Varlamov was your guy and whatever. Maybe you had to go with him in game one. But like, if you're going to beat the Canes and you're the Islanders, you need your goalie to carry you.
Totally.
So,
I didn't really understand that.
Oh, can we play the Bobrovsky save? I'd like to watch that.
Bobrovsky.
Like, this is just cuckoo.
Cuckoo.
Look at this.
Wow.
Woo. Like, how does his shoulder not dislocate?
That would hurt.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of pad in there.
No, not on your elbows. Bing. What a save.
What was better, that save on Matthew Davis in a national championship? It was quite the debate last night.
That one. Yeah. Matty Davis, former Saint.
Former Spruce Grove Saint.
Yeah, he was
really good.
He was a pain in the ass for our Crusaders.
Yeah. The crew team that year was so much better on like skill-wise than the Saints, but Matthew
Davis. That was Guylander for the crew
team. Yeah, right? It was Guylander and Davis, and they're both really good, but Davis just figured it out. Guylander just signed his ticket the other day.
Yeah, he got his ELC.
Four players from that team now signed in the NHL.
Benning, Savoy, Guylander, and Ty Mueller. Boom.
There you go.
Almost like I covered that team for 3 years.
Yeah,
okay, Colorado, Winnipeg's the other around the NHL we got to get to. I don't know how to read this series, man. Colorado's the better team, but now we're at the point 10 goals against for Hellebuck, but then I'm like, God... Hellebuck's the kind of goalie. It's like when McDavid gets held without a point for like a game or two, yeah. You're like, all right, when's the dominant performance coming?
Sorry, so you think Colorado's the better team?
Through two games, they've looked better, Liam.
Well, no, the way you worded it seemed weird. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, like right Colorado place. Through two games, take goalies out, have looked like the better team. They've been controlling possession. They've been getting dangerous looks. I think Adam Lowry's done a great job shutting down Nathan MacKinnon. I think that's a win. But now you're going to Colorado. You're not going to get that matchup as much as you'd like if you're Rick Bonus. But I do feel like Hellebuck's going to steal them one. I also feel like Gorgiev's going to have one more blow up game. So here's how Winnipeg will win.
Okay.
If those two events don't come on the same night, Gorgiev's going to blow up one more time. Hellebuck is going to steal them one. They have no business winning. If it happens on the same night, then the Jets are just going to win like 6-0 and it's not going to be, they'll be up 2-1 or they'll tie it 2-2. And then I think Colorado wins the series.
Yeah.
If those two events happen on different nights, they're going to win one like 6-4 and they're going to win one 2-0 and they're going to win the series.
I really do like this Winnipeg team though. I think this series is bound for 7. Like I just don't see how it doesn't end up back in Winnipeg. Crazy game with the wideout. How about that guy wearing the salmon shirt yesterday in the crowd? Did you see
Salmon? No, I did not.
You did not.
What a jerk.
Literally, like the whole section was white, obviously. He's just the one guy in his pink shirt right in the middle. What are you thinking?
Also, I hate that
like,
guy.
Don't they put shirts on
the chest? You gotta go like out of your way to not be a part of the white up.
Yeah, like come on. Figure it out.
Yep.
Do you wish Edmonton would do stuff like that?
I like the pom-poms. I heard people the other day when I was in the bathroom at the game being like, oh my God, we pay so much for tickets and they're still giving us pom-poms, not towels. I don't think it's a cost-saving thing for the Oilers.
I think it's just the Oilers thing.
It's the Oilers thing. Those are the same pom-poms you got in 06.
Yeah.
But now they're orange.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, they were silver in 06.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's, do the Oilers have a thing?
The Donair gun.
True, that is big.
And the little tassel thing. They're cool.
But I forget about them. Like, you never, ever forget about the whiteout. Vancouver fans were excited for this, like, you two, the streets have no names, walkout and everything.
Yeah.
Do Edmonton have that? I guess the anthem is something.
The anthem is pretty unique here. Yeah. With Rob Clark in the crowd. Yeah, that's cool.
I'll give us that one. I'm not trying to shit on us by any means. I love Edmonton in the playoffs. The atmosphere is incredible, but I just don't know. I haven't felt that from it. Like the Red Mile in Calgary.
Yeah.
You know, what do we got? La Bamba. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, La Bamba
has win songs though.
That is a good point. Everyone has win songs. Everyone has goal songs. I do love the Oilers goal song. Whoa, like the best goal song. And that's why I'm not a fan of the custom goal songs for players. Cause I think a goal song's got to be something that gets the crowd behind you and is something you can sing along. That's why Chelsea Dagger was iconic for Chicago, right? Cause the crowd could sing it. And like the Oilers one with the, everyone can sing along to that. That's why I think it's cool.
Yeah. And then also,
Oh, you just saw what I saw.
Yeah. Well, it's on our screen.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. It's right there on the monitor. Playoff report. Okay. Fine. Finish your thought. Hurry.
Now I'm distracted. Now I forgot.
Son of a gun.
This is why we need the Derek back. That's what I was going to say. Oh, is that what it's called?
The the oil Derek coming back would be absolutely electric.
I would enjoy that.
I would too. All right. Our playoff coverage is presented by our friends over at Boston Pizza. Team up for the win to end Canada's 30-year drought. Listen, if the ticket thing doesn't work out for me tonight, I might watch it at BP's.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I've also never watched a game at the Moss Pit.
Me neither. And to be honest, it's
I feel like you and I should pick a game and go be amongst the people.
I love the Moss Pit. I can't wait to go.
All right. There you go.
You've never been?
I've never watched a game there.
Like, I love watching with my family. I love watching.
You're a family guy.
I'm a family guy.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get out to our playoff report. DJ Bean from What Chaos joins us and he's looking fresh as all hell. What's up, DJ?
Hey, boys. I'm feeling amazing. How are you?
Feeling good.
Really good.
Playoff vibes are in the air here in Edmonton. The Oilers are up 1-0 in the series. It was a shit stomping. There was a Donair gun. Zach Hyman scored a hat trick. I mean, they kind of checked every box in game one from a vibes perspective.
Absolutely everything you want. And I give you credit, Tyler, because yesterday you noted that for those of us who made our Conn Smythe bet on Stuart Skinner, he was awesome in that game too. There's no way of knowing it if you look at the box score because they were doing whatever the fuck, whatever the shit they were doing at the end of that game. But Stu Skinner was awesome and he didn't even need to be because they were putting up a million goals. Amazing. I'm thrilled. Everything I wanted and more.
I was texting with your co-host Pete Blackburn the other day and he let me know that he had made a surprise for you with the Zach Hyman picture. I think we got it so we can flash it up to the people here as well. And I responded to Pete. I said, first the Bobbitt shirt, now this. I said, I'm getting real sick of you guys making cooler Oilers shit than we at Oilers Nation do.
It's all we care about doing. Watching the Oilers, making Oilers things, amazing. And I'm also going broke on the Iceletics, the whatever the Oilers team store is, not the NHL Fanatics one, the actual Edmonton one.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy, pal. The money that I am throwing at getting things shipped from Edmonton is outrageous right now, but I want it all. I am so bullish on the Oilers this year, not just because I'm an oil man, but because A, they're awesome, and B, man, like the Pacific is just there for the taking. I love it so much. Whatever the hell happened in that 82nd game of the year where the Kings blew that lead, came back, had to force overtime. I was watching. I actually had a social engagement and I went home because I just needed to watch the rest of that game. I needed to see how it ended. That may have given the Oilers, don't get mad at me, like a Stanley Cup, truly. Because nobody that they could play in the first two rounds scared me at that point. I feel good about them against the Kings. This will be, this won't be a sweep, but I really feel very confident in this series. And I think that we got a little positive affirmation with game one. But from there, the Canucks are in a bad way right now. And they've been kind of bringing it to the Predators, and it's still 1-1. Like, the Predators aren't even doing anything special. They're just blocking a bajillion shots. Neither of those two teams are great. So if the Oilers can... They still have a few things to figure out, but if they could play the way that they played on Monday or whenever game one was, no one's beaten them. I'm so bullish on them right now.
You're right. Like, that last day of the season
changed everything.
Like,
man.
Everything is just so crazy. It's like last year when Chicago decided they wanted to beat Calgary and Pittsburgh and just knock them out of the playoffs, and then Florida went to the Cup final. Like, the ripple effect of it was nuts. But what are you expecting tonight from the game? How heavy do you think the Kings are going to come out in this one?
I think that what would tell us the most is if the Kings scored the first goal, what would happen from there? Because I think so much of why that became the ass kicking it did is because just in the neutral zone, the Kings couldn't do anything that they wanted to do, because when you're playing from behind, you can't just get into a 1-3-1 city. You actually have to trade chances a bit. And as we all know, the Oilers are the last team in the NHL with whom you should want to trade chances. They're going to win that game every single time. So that's another reason I like the Oilers so much. It's tough to come from behind against them unless they get stupid, which, as Oilers fans, we can all say they are wont to do. They were not burned by the own goal or by Cody Ceci's stick blowing up at the end of that game the other night, but those types of things can happen to the Oilers from time to time. I want to see what it looks like when it's a 2-1 game, when it's a 3-2 game. I think, a lot more confident in Stuart Skinner than a lot of people who don't watch the Oilers regularly are. I think that the Kings will play a bit of a stingier game and that it will be lower scoring. I don't think there's going to be, 11 goals scored in this game. Still confident, though, that the Oilers can win that game just because they do have the goaltending. And do I say they have the defense? Kind of, depending on the pair. I'd like to see Darnell Nurse become more of like a top four guy. But even in a closer game, I feel better about the Oilers. But I am very intrigued to see how they would handle it.
Yeah, I am. I'm with you in... I'm intrigued how the Oilers would handle a little bit of adversity in this series. Just because, again, if the Kings can at any point settle into their true 1-3-1, that's where the Oilers are going to have to really sort of dig deep here. But to be fair, we did see them in the last game of the regular season, they just turned on the Jets and didn't let LA get set up. Like, even if the Oilers were changing, and we saw it a little bit in game one, if Edmonton's in the middle of a line change and the D-man has it in the neutral zone, they were almost preferring, and this is rare for the Oilers, to hit the red line and dump it in and almost like give the puck back to the Kings, because it just meant you could then go forecheck, try to create a turnover, and you're not trying to attack against the 1-3-1 where the Kings can turn it back. So a little bit of adversity would be interesting. My favorite moment of that game, though, I mean, obviously, the Zach Hyman hat trick. Yeah, and him scoring that first goal, then doing the let's fucking go into the corner, him laughing and pointing at McDavid because of that ridiculous pass. It was nice to see that playoff Zach Hyman is just copy and paste regular season Zach Hyman.
Yeah, and it's funny to see, like, as I was opening that wonderful gift from Pete, 54 goals for Zach Hyman is kind of funny because no one will remember this, but he could have had 60. Like, once he hit 50 and the hit piece was put out about his parents being rich, he did maybe slow down a little bit. He ended up getting the OT winner the next game, but not that I would say this was a question or a concern with the Oilers at all, because if you're going to look to the last few games of the regular season, you might as well also look back to last postseason where he was a really good playoff performer. So I had no questions about Zach Hyman, but for him to come out firing the way that he did, scoring goals, not just from right in front of the net. I mean, one of them was from like 2 to 3 feet away from the net, which is, we're doing bingo cards on What Chaos. And we do have Zach Hyman from three, which means, I don't know, from like the face-off circle or something like that. It wasn't necessarily a deep one from Zach Hyman, but not all just tapping it in right in front of the net. Doesn't matter, though. They don't ask how, they ask how many. I love Henrique on that line with them. I think that's fantastic. A question that's going to pop up specifically when it moves to LA is how the depth will match the depth, because Pierre-Luc Dubois, for as messy as he was with taking penalties, one of which led to an Oilers goal, if he ends up working his way, let's say, back up the lineup right now, it looks like they're going to have him on the third line tonight. The Kings were always supposed to have good forward depth. The question this year was just like, when will they each get going? And PLD in particular was such a mess, so hot and so cold. What happens if he gets going? Would you say that he took a little momentum off of getting a fakeish goal from Darnell Nurse the other night? I would say no, but also if you're Pierre-Luc Dubois at this point, you'll take anything you can get. So the two things that I ask is what happens when it's a close game and what happens when LA's top three lines are actually going and matching what Edmonton can put out there.
Super cliche, but first goal is, it's huge tonight, because if LA gets it, I think you could, you're right, maybe see them start to feel themselves a little bit. If Edmonton gets it and the Talbot chants are coming out again in full force, I think it might be a little bit of like, oh boy, it's going to be another long night. I always think it's funny. They were what? They said almost 1,200 hats thrown onto the ice.
6% of the crowd.
6% of the crowd had hats on the ice, including me. Now, first time I've ever thrown a hat for a hat trick.
Now you were paid 50 Canadian, right? To toss that.
Yeah, the guy next to me like straight up pulled the cash out of his wallet and was like, this is yours if you throw that hat. And I was like, well, I feel like I can't say no to that.
Wow, that's amazing. We were at the Oilers Bruins game. We were, if anybody came up to us, whatnuts are what we call our fans or listeners. If whatnuts came up to us, no questions asked, we gave them cash, but it was a dollar.
That's a great bit. I saw you guys did that. Yeah.
And it got very awkward because a couple people recognized me from other stuff and I thought they were doing it for what, chaos? And I was just like handing people money. It got very awkward very quickly, but that's what we go for with our program.
If we did that here, our pockets would be so heavy because we don't have cash.
Yeah, we'd be carrying on like bags of loonies.
Bags of loonies.
Oh, loonies would, oh yeah.
Okay, but now DJ, the reasons for a trip up to Edmonton for you are adding, you doing that bit in Edmonton with a sack of loonies would be fucking hilarious.
The show that gives you loonies.
It's great.
That'd be fantastic.
Pro Shop Wars at the downtown?
Pro Shop Wars in Edmonton would be crazy. That would be, we just did one with the Bruins and Pete was overwhelmed because A, he's like, I already have every Bruins thing, and B, what am I going to do in a room surrounded by Bruins things? I'm going to want to get it all. So that was a little crazy. I would go nuts inside an Edmonton Oilers pro shop. I want to get to Edmonton so badly, man.
And we would love to have you. I want to make the case for it as best as I can. Before we let you go, I do want to ask you a question about Bruins Leafs game 3 tonight. Does the Bruins fan in you, are you a little bit worried after watching kind of the way Matthews performed and the way, I'll say, Toronto dodged a bullet in game 2, or do you still think the series is in control, in Boston's control?
I still think that the ball should be in Boston's court. They are making a lot of changes tonight, which is very interesting. They're putting James Van Riemsdyk in the lineup. They're sitting Jacob Lauko. They're sitting Matt Grizzlick, who has kind of struggled in the playoffs the last 3 years, but they're putting in Mason Lowry, who is very untested. This will be his first playoff game. Obviously, they're rotating the goalies. They'll go back to Swayman, I assume. I like the goalie rotation thing for the Bruins. Historically, it hasn't necessarily yielded cups for teams, but I think it makes sense for them to do that. I'm not too worried if I'm the Bruins. I know that Bruins fans are, because this team is a worse version of the one that failed catastrophically in the first round last year. But I don't know if Max Domi is going to be as incredible as he was in game 2. I think that you can bet on Austin Matthews, or you should always assume that Austin Matthews is going to be as incredible as he was. But I think that if Boston gets a little more offense, and I think that putting James Van Riemsdyk in the lineup is at least taking a shot at doing that, he can for sure go completely invisible. And at this point of his career, just given his age and everything, yeah, maybe he might. But if you're trying to generate offense, stick a tall guy in the lineup, have him go to the front of the net, see what happens. You still have the vast advantage both in net and on D. I'm not too worried if I'm the Bruins, but if I am a Leafs fan, I'm at least feeling a shred of confidence that I don't normally feel, because I'd be a Leafs fan in that hypothetical.
Fair enough. Appreciate your time as always, DJ. We love having you on. Our chat loves you as well. You will be welcome in Edmonton when that day comes, man. Go Oil. Thanks for hopping on.
Subscribe to What Chaos if you have not. We appreciate you.
Yes, subscribe to What Chaos. It is a fantastic show. That is DJ Bean. He and Pete Blackburn do a hell of a show. I know a bunch of people in our chat were talking about it as well. Thanks, DJ. Talk to you later.
Thanks, boys.
See ya. There you
go. All right, what do we got to do to move along? Shout out to Boston Pizza as well for that playoff report. We'll get DJ up here. We'll talk a little bit about. We'll bring him to BP's when he gets up here.
Yeah.
Why not?
May as well.
Yeah. Get some cactus cuts with DJ. Coldest beer in town.
Cactus cuts aren't beer.
No, I said cactus cuts and the coldest beer in town.
I thought you said the coldest
beer. I'm aware that cactus cuts are French fries. Or not French fries. Well, they are. They're chopped up fried potato.
Okay. Then what are boneless wings?
Chicken nuggets.
Okay, thank you. All right, I'll let you have it.
We're good. On to the next, everyone.
What do we have to do next?
Betway. Game Day Betting Challenge brought to you by our friends at Betway, where right now you can get up to $200 in bonus bets if your first bet loses. You just need to place a bet with no minimum amount required. And if the bet loses, you will get a refund up to $200. You can then use that money to bet on your favorite sports some more. This offer is only available outside of Ontario, and you can take advantage of it by scanning the QR code that is on your screen right now. OJ, I muted Pete from his Oilers comments last year. Why is he all of a sudden an Oilers fan? Because they love Gene Principe. And because DJ is a huge Oilers fan now.
Somebody called him Bean Principe in the chat.
Oh, he would have loved
that.
He loved that. Calvin Pickard, why not Greta? I think you could do both in one night.
Yeah, they're right. But
that's called each other down. It's called hitting for the cycle.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, Betway, what do we like tonight? Liam, Jay is not here. Jay is being a business guy this afternoon, so he can't make the show.
Big business.
Big business.
Jay got Ekholm goal. Down in the negative start the series.
Oh, really? That's so unlike me.
Yeah, that is. I did not expect that.
What did I pick last game?
McDavid goal. Yep. So we're going with the same. Oilers win, McDavid 2 points, plus 145.
Yeah, I'm tailing you. I think that bet is so good, and it's a better payout than the puck line. Listen, if the Oilers win and if they were to cover the puck line, like McDavid would have 2 points in that situation. This just gives you a bit of coverage if it were, knock on wood, to like go to OT or whatever. I am wagering on the puck line as well. So giddy up. And Jay wants to go with a Matthias Ekholm goal and give himself a nice cushy lead to start.
Yeah, Jay's swinging for the fences right off the bat. Very on brand for our friend Jay, but hey, did him well enough through the regular season.
Yeah. So there you go. Shout out to our friends at Betway 19 plus. Please play responsibly. Boardsy's bankroll coming up later on this evening. Pre-gaming with Boardsy gets going at 7 o'clock right here on the Oilers Nation YouTube. Gregor's live at 2. I'm going to be on with Gregor just before 2:30 this afternoon. And Liam, we got to start packing because tomorrow we are on a plane to Los Angeles.
We are on the plane.
Have you ever been to LA?
Oh, we can check in.
Oh shit, we can't check in. Should we do it just right now?
I'm already doing it. 9 minutes ago, we could check in.
9 minutes. Okay.
Oh, I don't have my passport.
Oh, rats. You don't just have all your info written down on your phone?
No, I don't.
It's probably smart.
Actually, I don't even need a passport because this is for the...
I think you can check in on all of it. No one cares about this.
Whatever. I'll do
Let's keep yours long. Pre-gaming with Boardsy at 7. Who's on post-game with you tonight?
A little bit of Coombsy action. Ooh. You got to see him yesterday. You got some more of him. And then you're not going to the game yet, so you might be with me for a full hangout.
Yeah, I will see what ends up going on tonight. I might go to the game. We'll see. Maybe I'll sketch. Someone in the chat yesterday was like, tickets on Game Time were like $10 after puck drop.
I saw a bunch of people, like, they were like $80.
Oh, $80 is more than 10.
Well, either way, like less
80 bucks. 80 bucks feels like 10 for a playoff game. That's people.
NationGear.ca, oil up.
Yeah.
Get it.
I got to wash mine so I can take it with me to the beach.
To the beach. You bringing your BP, Sudi?
Of course.
One of us should pack the BP City.
I'm going to bring mine. I like mine.
I like mine too.
I wore mine again yesterday, laying around watching stuff. It's a nice hoodie.
It is great. All right. I think that's a wrap on today's edition of the show. DJ was great. Hutz was fantastic.
Good show.
Okay. So tomorrow we're going to have a Game 3 recap with Luke Gazdick, but it's not going to be a 90-minute show. It's going to be a shortened edition of the show because, again, flight. What?
Vyong.
That
plane.
Aren't planes more like
either one?
All right. So it's going to be a short edition of the show. We'll do like quick intro, quick hit with Gaz, quick wrap, and then we're gone to LA. But to make up for the fact that it's a shortened edition of the show, what you're going to get on Friday is actually the full 90-minute show during the day. And then 1 hour leading up to pre-gaming. We're going to do a double dip 2 hour pre-game show where we got the guys on the road and we got the guys at our party HQ up in Greta here in Edmonton. So I'm sure we will all be consuming beers on a Friday night. They're probably going to be unhinged shows, but you're going to get a full 2 hour pregame show bringing you up to Puck Drop on Friday and then postgame from Greta.
I think it's unreal that we get you guys boots on the ground on scene,
yeah,
having your own party, and then we'll go straight to our party at Greta.
Yep.
Once again, free 99 to get in, people.
Yeah.
First come, first serve.
And all the usual specials down at Greta. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then if you're in LA, if you happen to be there for the games or whatever, keep it locked on our socials. We're going to be doing like the pregame show live from a bar outside the arena. Mm. So you can come drink with us, watch the show. We'll have some beers together. And then we will all head in as a united front into crypto.com arena. Saturday, you can look forward to a new episode of Oilers Nation Radio to recap game 3. And then Sunday, double dip again. Oilers Nation every day live at noon on a Sunday. And then we're going to be giddying up with same double dip pre-post game show Sunday night leading into game 4. So lots of content coming in the next little bit here. It is going to be a lot of fun, but let's not put the cart before the horse, Liam. Game 2, Oilers Kings, Rogers Place tonight. Puck drop sometime after 8 o'clock. Don't tell Gary that. Giddy up. Should be a great night tonight down at the barn.
I'm excited. Go Oilers, go.
That's a good way to end it. Thanks for tuning in, everyone in the YouTube. You were fantastic. That's a wrap on a Sherwood Ford Giant playoff game day edition of the program. Oh, we can't wrap up yet.
Why?
Because we didn't give our keys to victory for Sherwood Power Sports and Marine, Liam. Sherwood Power Sports and Marine service for all makes and models of Power Sports and Marine. Bring your boat in for service troubles, need an inspection. They got it all. Sherwood Power Sports and Marine. All your Power Sports and Marine needs. What's your key to victory tonight?
Offense and speed.
I'm going to say power through adversity. Mm-hmm. I think
you're predicting adversity.
It won't be as smooth sailing tonight as it was in game 1. You're going to have to dig deep at some point.
Yeah.
When that time comes, don't lose your structure. Don't lose your cool. Just keep powering through and trust that your skill will get you the goals you need. Mm. Power through the adversity is my key to victory. Mainlander Tim says score first. Don't look back. Patrick Casper, our friend from Denmark, says power play stays hot. Sadistic Angel, 5-2 Oilers as a prediction. I like that one. And that is actually how we're ending the show. Enjoy the hockey game tonight, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow, noon Mountain Time.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.